Hello and welcome to episode 60 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Minal.
And I'm Ankita.
And this week we bring you our conversation with Zora Musa, the executive director of Mama Cash, an organization that supports the financial prospects of women, girls, and trans people all around the world.
Mama Cash was conceived around a kitchen table in Amsterdam back in 1983, and since then they've grown from a group of five feminist activists into an international fund that supports women's, girls, and trans people's movements all over the world.
And as a brown, queer, Desi migrant, Zora talks to us about intersectional feminism and the work that she does with Mama Cash to support feminist causes all around the world. So without further ado, let's jump right into the show. Welcome to the show, Zora. We've been excited to speak to you for a couple of weeks now, especially considering, you know, the current political environment surrounding women's activism, and we're very happy to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation.
So first things first, Zora, you're the executive director at Mama Cash, an organization that supports the financial prospects of women, girls, and trans people around the world. But we're sure that you'll do a much better job of explaining what Mama Cash does. So for anyone out there who's listening and has never heard of the organization, could you please explain what it's all about?
Sure. Mama Cash is a funder. We're based in Amsterdam, but we fund globally. And we fund activism and organizing by women, girls, trans people, and intersex people who are trying to advance their human rights.
And as an executive director, what does your role mostly entail?
Any given day can be completely different than the next, and even every half hour can be completely different than the next. So it's an amazing organization, but it exists to do kind of two main things. It exists to fundraise, so to mobilize money for the causes that we support, and it exists to give out that money in grants to the people leading incredible work around the world. So my job is basically to enable that to happen. I can be speaking to funders about why it's so important to support the work that Mama Cash is trying to contribute to, or I can be speaking to some activists who are leading incredible work in different places around the world, or I can be speaking to people who don't know very much about feminism or women's rights, but who might have some interest, and talking to them about why it's so important to pay some attention to women's rights, how they can support the cause, and so on. It's really, really different kinds of things I get to do every day.
What did your day look like yesterday, for example?
Yesterday, I had a few different things. I met with some of my senior staff. So I met with the director of programs, for example, to talk to her about what kinds of groups are we planning on supporting this year. I also met with some board members to talk about basically how's the organization running, any questions they have, how do we get some more board members that are interested in supporting our work to join us. We also had a little bit of a party. We had our New Year's drinks this week. So we don't close the year with a party. We open the year with a bit of a party. So we also had a big, it wasn't actually big. It was a small staff party up in our kind of upstairs cantina, but that's always really fun. There was dancing, there were children, there was hula hooping. It was nice.
Yeah. So does Mama Cash offer support to individual women or just to organizations, or do you do both?
We don't support individual women. We support groups. So they don't have to be formal organizations. They don't need to be registered or have an official bank account or anything like that. It could be a collective, for example. It doesn't have to be an NGO, but it does have to be a group. So it needs to be, you know, 2 to 3 people at least. And we prioritize funding to groups that are led by the people on whose behalf the organization is advocating. So we call it self-led groups. So for example, if it's a group that focuses on women with disabilities, disabled women, then it has to be led by women with disabilities or disabled women. It's not led by non-disabled people who are then doing work on behalf of disabled women.
And an organization such as Mama Cash has been around to witness some of the most, you know, crucial developments we've seen in women empowerment in the past few decades. But at the same time, nowadays, you guys are also witnessing what can be called a reversal of everything you've supported and fought for. So how do you personally feel about the backlash the women's rights movement is facing in recent times?
I don't know that I see it that way exactly. So at any one time, it's always going to look like we're making some advancements, and also that we're facing immense backlash. And From my perspective, that's inevitable. Every time you take two steps forward, there is a chance that you'll have to take one step back, and that's part of the progress. If you're receiving no backlash at all, probably you're not actually achieving as much as you think you are. It's when you're receiving backlash that you realize you're actually challenging some of the fundamental forces that are still holding women back. So for sure, we do see some really critical things happening, attacks on women, assassinations of women human rights defenders, things like this. But we also see things like the Me Too movement. So for the first time, mainstream women in large quantities speaking out about the sexual harassment they face in their everyday lives and blowing open the secrecy that's been surrounding that. That for me is not backlash. That's a huge forward step. And it's happening at the same time some of the other critical stuff is happening that's moving to try to silence and shut down women.
Right. And, you know, the reach of Mama Cash is just so wide. There's forced labor, sexual exploitation, environmental issues, police brutality, and many areas where you provide support. And basically, you know, one could say that you have your fingers in every pie. But at any point, is there a sort of prioritization that goes on, you know, where you have to choose which cause gets more money than the other?
Yeah, sure. And it's not easy. It's not easy to make choices about where to put the money when there's so many causes that are worthy. The reality is there just isn't enough funding for all the work that needs to be done, and that is being done. So women, girls, trans people, intersex people are leading some of the most revolutionary work we have ever seen and have always been leading revolutionary work that's so important for our societies. But we don't have enough funding to support all of them. So we do have to make choices also at Mama Cash. The way we make those choices depends on a couple of things. Sometimes it's about what funding are we receiving. So Mama Cash is not just a grant maker, it's also a grant seeker. We fundraise for the money 100%. We don't have an endowment. We don't have money in a bank sitting somewhere. We have to raise our funding every single year. Sometimes the funding we raise is restricted. People say, oh, we only want you to spend it in these countries or on these issues or things like that. So that restricts where we are able to give out money. The other way we restrict is also by making choices ourselves about where we want to put the limited amount of funding that we do have. And the way we make that choice is we do set strategic plans every 5 years. And we say, okay, what's the world looking like now? Where are other funders funding? Where are feminist and feminist movements organizing? And where can Mama Cash make a big difference? And for this strategic plan, so until 2020, we are continuing to focus on folks that we think are more excluded and have least access to funding and who are working on controversial issues or highly contested issues that we think are very important to resolve. So we're funding those issues that other people are maybe a bit risk averse about or feel a bit like, ooh, that's kind of controversial. That's where we will show up. We'll be like, okay, actually, this is super important. Other people are not comfortable funding this or are worried about it, but we're going to stand with these people and back them. So if you think of migrant work, for example, many, many funders won't fund migrant workers because it's highly contested in national context. Lots of people are anti-migration, for example, and we're not. We think migration is fine. We think migration is a right. And we think migrant workers are doing valuable work and deserve to have their human rights respected. So we support them.
And along the same lines, Zora, how much of the support you provide is affected either positively or adversely by local cultures, customs, and traditions? For example, how would you go about supporting a movement to educate girls in certain rural settings that are against female education? And how do you fight these forces? Can you think of any instance when it was particularly hard to provide the support a community needed, but you were facing resistance?
Yeah, sure. So one thing to note is that Mama Cash doesn't run programs ourselves. We support groups of activists that are taking on work. So they decide in their context what's important to do and how to do it. We make decisions about who to support based on their politics, based on their ideologies, based on their visions, based on their strategies. And then we make a political commitment to them. Our funding is a manifestation of that political commitment, but we're supporting them financially in the first instance, but also kind of morally. We back them. We talk to them about their work and their progress. And they talk to us about, okay, this is going to be really hard to get done, or we're facing this challenge, or, you know, there are some local community members who don't like us or who don't like what they're doing, or we're facing harassment or whatever it is. But we don't solve that problem for them. We act as a sounding board. We accompany them. We talk to them about, okay, what would you need to stay safe? What would you need to continue your work? How can we help? But it's for them to actually take on the work. They are the activists in their context who know best where to push, where to stop, where to hold the line, who else they can collaborate with and build alliance with to make their movement stronger.
You know, this begs the next question. You guys have given out 147 grants, totaling approximately 5.3 million euros in 2016. So who are your main benefactors, and where does all this money come from?
So we have three main sources of funding at Mama Cash. The first is governments. I say first, not that they're the biggest donor or anything like that, but just to put it in some kind of order, we get money from government. So right now we receive funding from the Dutch government and also from the Swedish government. In the past, we've received funding from other governments, and we continue to seek funding from different governments. A second source of funding is other foundations, bigger foundations than us. So, for example, we are now receiving funding from the Gates Foundation. We've also received funding from Ford Foundation in the past. We receive funding from foundations based in many different countries in the world. And usually those are private foundations. So they're not raising their own funding themselves the way we are. We're considered a public foundation, but they're private foundations, family foundations, and things like that. And the third source of funding is individual donors. So private individuals in the Netherlands or in the UK or really anywhere in the world who believe in our cause, believe in what we do, like what we do, like the kinds of groups we support, want to contribute to advancing women's rights, girls' rights, trans people's rights, and or intersex people's rights. And so they contribute themselves. They provide donations, and they give monthly, or they give annually, or they give whenever they have a bit of extra income.
And if anyone listening right now wants to be a donor, an individual donor or a group donor, how can they go about that?
First of all, I would say thank you so much to anyone who is interested in supporting us. It makes a huge difference. The easiest way to do it is to just go onto our website and click the donate button. Super simple. I think it's important for people to know that individual donors are our most important source of funding. Individual donors allow us to stay independent. When we're receiving funding from governments and foundations, it's important money, and it's usually very large money, so that's critical. But often they have restrictions. They have particular priorities that they need to focus on. So governments, for example, have to be accountable to their publics, and the logics that they work in for what they consider priority are usually based on national interest. Individual donors don't have those same logics, and it allows us to be flexible. So if we see a group is in trouble, for example, and they need a sudden support from us, when we have a lot of individual donors supporting us, we're able to make those grants flexibly. We're able to change course. If there's a new group that comes onto the scene that we think is doing important work, we're able to support them. If an existing group suddenly gets into some trouble or has some kind of opportunity that they're about to be able to advance, we're able to support them. We're able to support groups in countries that other governments aren't interested in, for example. It allows us to be really flexible and respond to where the need is. And it's I can't emphasize enough how critical that is and what a difference it makes to have individual support.
And Zoran, I mean, Ankita just mentioned that in 2016 you had approximately 5.3 million euros. I assume that, you know, this kind of money has just been exponentially growing for Mama Cash. So I just wanted to know what it was like at the very beginning with Mama Cash and how it started off, and where did you find your initial source of money to fund these projects from?
Mm-hmm. So Mama Cash actually started about 34, 35 years ago. And mm-hmm. it started because one woman, Marion Sachs, who was part of the anti-capitalist squatters movement in Amsterdam, inherited some wealth. And in the beginning, she was terribly embarrassed that she had inherited this money. I mean, she was part of the anti-capitalist movement. What was she going to do with all this wealth? So she kept it secret for a few years. But she was also part of the feminist movement, and she was organizing with other women and other lesbian women. And she got together eventually with four others of her friends, and they sat around a kitchen table. And she kind of came out to them, and she said, you know how we're always talking about our amazing plans and our all these things we want to do and all these amazing ideas we have, and you know how we never have any money to do all those amazing things? And they were like, yeah. And she was like, well, what if we had some money? And she said, I have some money. I've come into some wealth. What should we do with this? And very quickly, it became obvious to them that the thing that they needed to do was to support other feminists who were trying to organize and support them to be autonomous. Because it was when feminist groups are autonomous that they're able to really come up with creative solutions and push them and make them happen in a way that doesn't mean they're kind of restricted by other people's ideas about what they should or shouldn't be doing. So they started funding groups internationally right away. Mama Cash is the first international women's fund in the world. There are many more women's funds now all around the world, but Mama Cash was the pioneer in this, in funding internationally. That money was given as an endowment from Marion Sachs in the beginning, as a loan, actually, for the first few years. And then eventually Mama Cash had to start raising its own income. And it did that exactly as it's doing now, by raising funding from individuals, from other institutions, and then eventually from government.
And Zora, if I may ask, in Mama Cash, you have, I assume you have paid employees, right?
We do.
So, yeah. But you also have volunteers as well.
Yep.
Do you have an option on your website as well? Maybe if somebody wants to work with Mama Cash or even volunteer, is that possible as well?
Sometimes it's possible. We usually say clearly on our website when we're looking for volunteers. Mama Cash, like many women's organizations, started out all volunteer. There were no paid staff at all, of course. In the last sort of 10 to 15 years is when Mama Cash has started to pay its staff. And now it's a big organization relative to many women's organizations around the world. We have about 45 paid staff positions. So we rely less and less on volunteers, also because we think this labor is important and we think it should be remunerated. So that's one of the reasons we don't have a lot of volunteer positions. We prefer to pay people. So we do, for example, have internships, and those are also paid. But all of our vacancies and opportunities are always listed on our website.
And something else that stood out to me on Mama Cash's website is that it said that activists who stand up for women's, girls, and trans people's rights have plenty of energy, vision, and ambition. And what they tend to lack is money. But not only that, a lack of moral support and the feeling of being in it alone can weigh heavy. So is it safe to say that Mama Cash doesn't only provide financial support, but other forms of support as well, like moral support?
Yes, that's what I was trying to explain earlier as well. So we talk about providing grant support, but also what we call accompaniment. And what that means is we're trying to walk with our groups, and we're trying to grow with our groups and trying to think with them and act as collaborators with them. Our commitment to them is a political commitment. It's solidarity. So we definitely are providing them grant. Funding is important. But we are also providing other things. And some of the most validating feedback we receive from our partners is that they're just amazed to know that there are, for example, women in the Netherlands who care about them, who are interested in what they're doing, who feel that they have a stake in their process and are kind of there watching and supporting their cause. It's amazing for people who maybe haven't traveled that much or who are, you know, in the situation they're in, fighting day in and day out for basic rights, in their minds, they know that they're being supported by Mama Cash. And what they know from that is that means that there are women behind Mama Cash who are supporting them. So they feel supported that there's this mysterious group of women somewhere. Sometimes they know it's the Netherlands. Sometimes it's just out there somewhere. There are these women supporting. And it just emboldens them when times are really hard or stark, or they're getting arrested, they're getting beaten up, they're getting harassed, whatever it is they're facing, or they're just not making progress, right? They're fighting, and they just can't convince whoever it is they're trying to convince about the particular right that they're trying to advance. They know that they're not alone. They're not isolated, that they have someone there that they can go back to and just say, this happened today. It was really tough. We got stuck today. We're going to try again tomorrow. And we know that they're there too. And we also reach out to them and say, how's it going? We know this was about to happen. How did that go for you? That's part of our process as well. That's part of the support we provide.
And Zora, specifically because we are a Desi, aka South Asian podcast, and because a lot of our listeners are also from the South Asian community, could you actually tell us a little bit about the South Asia Women's Fund at Mama Cash?
Sure. So it's not that it's a South Asia Women's Fund at Mama Cash. There is a South Asia Women's Fund, and Mama Cash supports it. So we fund activist groups, but we also fund other women's funds around the world. So as I was explaining that, Mama Cash is the oldest international women's fund in the world, and now there are many, many other women's funds. And they are sometimes national, sometimes regional, sometimes issue specific. And we try to support them as well to build up so that there's a kind of network of women's funds all around the world. And there are many, many different kinds of women's funds around the world. One of those is the South Asia Women's Fund. And it funds across South Asia. It also is increasingly funding across the rest of Asia. So it's going to soon be called the Asia Women's Fund. So I think, is that what you meant, that particular fund?
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, we provide support to them and we work with them and collaborate with them on a number of programs, including on our environmental work, for example. So we work with them very closely on the links between environmental justice and women's rights. That's one of our core areas of collaboration.
And for anyone who might be thinking of applying for a grant, could you talk about the criteria for selection and the best way to go about getting Mama Cash's attention?
Sure. So Mama Cash makes grants every year to a bunch of new groups. We also provide renewal grants to our existing groups. So once you're a Mama Cash grantee partner, we do try to maintain our funding to you for a while. So we try to do longer term funding and multi-year funding. So it can be very competitive to get that first grant. That's one thing to know. It doesn't mean we don't think you're doing good work. As I explained at the beginning, we do have to make some choices because our funding is also restricted and limited. We tend to open for new grants every spring or so. That's spring in the Netherlands. So kind of March, April time is when we open our doors for new groups to apply. You can apply online via our website. We have some webinars in a few different languages that you can watch that answer some basic questions. But the criteria that you really need to know about is that your group needs to be self-led. So as I explained, led by the group on whose behalf you're advocating. If you want to focus on girls' rights, you should be led by girls. Most of the decision-making should be done by girls. Most of the decisions about what to do, how to spend the money, where to get the money from, and what actual activities to take on should be led by girls if you're a girls-focused group. Another criteria that's really important is that you are feminist. You don't need to use the language of feminist. That's not what's important. What it is that the whole group is focused on advancing women's rights, girls' rights, trans people's rights, or intersex people's rights from a feminist theoretical framework or feminist position, or from an understanding about power that is about inequalities between men, women, girls, trans people, intersex people. And that is to make sure that there aren't groups that receive funding from us who have, for example, just one project focused on women's rights, but the rest of their work has nothing to do with women's rights. So we really focus on groups whose entire core mission and purpose is feminist. Another criteria that's important for us is that you're focused on structural change. So we don't fund individuals, as I explained. We don't fund individuals to do a master's program, for example. We don't fund microcredit. We don't fund development projects like building a school or digging a well. We fund structural change, so root causes. efforts to change whole societies or whole communities. So it could be legal change, it could be social norm change, it could be access to services or resources at any level. But it's really looking at it structurally, what's the problem and how to address it. Those are some of the most important criteria. There are other criteria, like we tend to prioritize groups who already have less than 200,000 euro that they're working with. We fund groups, we prioritize groups that are working on controversial or contested issues, as I mentioned. But some of those criteria, it really depends on who else is applying at the same time. So we can do a comparison and make some choices based on also the funding we have in our bank at that time.
So Zora, at this point, we can't possibly ignore your many achievements since you passed out of the University of Sussex in 2003. So in the past 15 years, you've not only built a thriving career for yourself, but you've also contributed widely to bringing about a positive change in this world. So could you tell us about this journey of how you got to where you are today?
First of all, I had no idea it was 15 years, so that's a little alarming when you put it like that. So when I studied at Sussex, I had already been doing a bunch of activism. I grew up in Toronto in Canada, and I had always been involved in feminist activism, in ally work for a number of different movements. I was part of the anti-racist movement. I did a lot of environmental justice work, and so on. And so when I did my master's, I really was trying to get some kind of professional skills and some academic skills on something I was already interested in working on, which was on women's rights. And then soon after that, I worked with some development organizations, international development organizations, and then I worked for an anti-racist organization and then a feminist organization in the UK. And I think for me, that's kind of an example, that path is an example of how I think about this work, in that I take an intersectional approach. So as, you know, a woman of color myself, as a queer woman of color, for me, it doesn't make sense to try to only work on racism or to only work on sexism or to only work on homophobia or something like this, because that's not how I live my life, and that's not how I experience the world, and neither do the people that I've been in movements with. So I've, I guess, just tried to make some contribution to social justice, but different topics interest me at different times, and whatever topic I'm working on now, I'm still taking an intersectional approach to it. So even when I was working for organizations focused on race, for example, I was still focused on gender within that. And likewise with the work I do at Mama Cash, we take an intersectional approach. So it's never just about women. It's always looking at the many, many ways that people are disenfranchised and the many different kinds of people that are working together to build the feminist futures that kind of we all need, really.
And Zora, do you have the opportunity to travel to some of these places and see for yourself like the impact that Mama Cash has across the globe?
I do get to travel, but actually we don't spend a lot of money visiting our partners. So where I get to meet our partners is when we're both at a conference or at a convening on women's rights or on any topic that we're working on together. That's actually where I get to meet our partners. We do try to host our partners like kind of before a convening or after a convening together, so that they also get to meet each other, because often the groups we fund have never met each other, even though they might be working on the same topic or they might be working in the same region or sometimes even the same country. But we usually do it off the back of already being in the same space for some other cause. We don't just make trips to go visit our partners, for example. That's not how we use the money. But yeah, I do get to travel and do get to meet some of the most incredible people you can imagine, who are leading amazing change, who have huge vision for our world and our societies, and are affecting enormous positive things for our world and are really doing life-changing work.
That must be really inspiring to keep you going, and that's really amazing. So if there's any young listener out there who might be looking at you right now or even listening to this podcast and they think that, well, you know, one day I'd like to be like Zora, what advice would you give them?
Be better than Zora. don't start here, right? This is my path. This is my journey. I'm Desi, and I'm a migrant, and I did what I did the way I did it. Different people are in different places. You know, there's all kinds of opportunities. Follow your passion, I would say, is the main thing. And I think I benefited from being eclectic. That worked for me. I'm not a specialist in any one thing, and I'm hugely curious and like to try stuff. So that's how I followed my path. Other people, it makes sense for them to really specialize, right? So go become an artist, go get the law degree, go whatever it is, and really focus and tunnel down into that. But you need to follow yourself, and you need to look at the kind of reality and the context you're in. I had many opportunities to get educated. I lived in cities where there was a lot of public free access to, for example, libraries, books, literature, speakers, things like this. People are in different places, right? And that's not always available. Fortunately, we do have the internet. Everyone listening to your podcast knows how to use the internet. So use that. There's amazing blogs. You both run amazing blogs. There are other amazing feminist blogs. And I would say I get huge learning from that. I also have been a blogger for like, I don't know. We're going to use the 15-year thing again, but I think it's only 10 years this time.
We don't want to give you nightmares tonight. Yeah, exactly. You don't have to mention any timeline.
But that was hugely important for me. That was a big part of my consciousness raising, was being a feminist blogger, part of a feminist collective running a blog. Mm-hmm. And there are amazing blogs out there besides. People can start their own, but they can also work with you two, read your two ones, and then read all the other ones out there and just be creative and listen to what other people are already producing, and then think, okay, where do you want to make your contribution?
Well, Zora, you didn't just give advice to our listeners, you just gave us advice as well, so thank you.
Yeah. And finally, Zora, if any of our listeners want to get in touch with you directly, how can they go about that?
Probably the best way is through Twitter. So my handle is Zora Musa, and you can send me a direct message, DM me, or just at me, and I'll respond on there.
Thank you again, Zora, for joining us today. We've really, both of us, Ankita and I, have learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners will take a lot from this conversation as well. So this has been a great conversation, and thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you so much, too. Nice to talk to you.
And thank you, dear listeners, for tuning into our conversation with Zora today. She's truly such a role model to us, and we hope that you got something valuable to take away from this episode too.
And as always, do leave us a rating on iTunes, and we'd be very happy if you shared our podcast with another person who might also enjoy listening to both of us. Do send in your questions, comments, and feedback to mail@desioutsiders.com. You can also find us and follow us on social media @DesiOutsiders on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
So until next time, I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenal.
And we are the Desi Outsiders.